Hi, I'm Alex Bice, Senior Editor of CURE.
And I'm Brielle Bennion, Assistant Managing Editor of CURE.
Now, last week, we saw some big headlines in the oncology space, from Dexter Scott King's death from prostate cancer and Major League Baseball Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg announcing that he was diagnosed with the disease. The FDA also requested a label update for CAR T cell therapies that would warn patients and providers about secondary malignancies that have been reported from the disease. And also, we take a look at laughter therapy and how it could help patients and caregivers. And we've also been busy covering two conferences, ASCO's Gastrointestinal Cancer Symposium, as well as their Genitourinary Cancer Symposium. So tune in later this week for a special podcast episode highlighting some major research from those events. But Brielle, first we start off with some sad news from the celebrity and public figure.
Yes. So last week on Monday, January 22nd, we saw two big stories in the prostate cancer space. First, Dexter Scott King, the son of civil rights activist Martin Luther King Jr., died of prostate cancer. He was 62 years old. So at the time of his death, King was the chairman of the King Center, which is an organization focused on educating the world about the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dexter Scott King was also the president of King's estate. In a statement announcing King's death, his wife, Leah Weber, said, "He transitioned peacefully in his sleep at his home with me in Malibu. He gave everything and battled this terrible disease until the end." And on the same day Dexter Scott King died, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg announced that he was diagnosed with metastatic prostate cancer. The 64-year-old, who was a 10-time All-Star during his tenure for the Chicago Cubs, which ran from 1982 to 1997, announced his diagnosis on Instagram. He said that he received the diagnosis a week earlier and has started treatment, and asked that fans keep him in their thoughts and prayers.
And next up, the latest developments regarding the FDA and CAR T cell therapy. The investigation into CAR T cell therapy continues as recently the Food and Drug Administration requested that approved BCMA or CD19 targeted CAR T cell therapies update their labeling to include a warning of reports of T cell malignancies, including CAR positive lymphomas, which have been reported in patients who use this type of therapy. Now, back in November, the FDA announced it was investigating reports of secondary diseases in patients who underwent CAR T cell therapy. The available data shows that these diseases are extremely rare, and researchers are still looking into what exactly is causing them. Now, the FDA wrote letters to the manufacturers of five CAR T cell therapies requesting that they include a boxed warning, which is the highest safety-related warning for drugs, outlining the potential risks of CAR T cell products. The companies must respond to the FDA within 30 days of receiving the letters, which were sent out on January 19th. Now, Brielle, this is the latest development in a story that we have been covering here at CURE, and it doesn't look like the news is stopping anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. And what I think is fascinating about this, at least in my research into it and talking to some experts about it, you know, towards the end of 2023, is that we're not quite sure what is causing these cancers. If it's chance, if it's the actual CAR T cell therapy, if it's the manufacturing process. So there's really a lot of unanswered questions. And most of the people I've been talking to have been saying that these drugs still, the benefits outweigh the risks. However, whenever you see something like this, I think it is appropriate that, you know, drug manufacturers do their due diligence in A, looking into it, and B, saying and telling the public and the clinicians and the patients that these risks are there, these things are happening. But why they're happening, how frequently they're happening, that's still to be determined. So this is a really developing story still.
Absolutely. So stay tuned to CureToday.com and your podcast feeds, because as we know more, we'll be sure to bring it to you. But finally, on a lighter note, laughter therapy might improve mood and decrease pain in patients with cancer. We covered recent research showing that laughter therapy can decrease mood disturbances in patients receiving palliative care for late stage cancer, as well as their loved ones. These findings, which were published in the journal Cancer Nursing, also found that laughter therapy reduced pain perception in patients and decreased levels of burnout in caregivers. Laughter therapy refers to alternative and complementary therapy using humor to help relieve stress and pain, in addition to potentially improving a patient's sense of well-being, according to the National Cancer Institute. Now, in this instance, it consisted of five 20 to 30-minute sessions held over five consecutive days. The participants introduced themselves using funny tools to relieve tension and move their bodies in laughing rhythms. And researchers wrote that, quote, "This indicates that our palliative care patients and family caregivers would have a positive view of the use of laughter or humor in their palliative circumstances." And that's pretty neat. You know, we often talk about how much a positive outlook and a positive mindset can inform your experience just in life in general and while going through cancer. And I think this is some quantifiable evidence of such.
I do think that there's two heads of the coin, because we also want to be careful of that toxic positivity where we hear people saying to people with late stage cancer, you're going to be fine. And, you know, or, oh, you look great. And, you know, patients don't feel that way, or they might be more familiar with their prognosis. So, but I think this takes it in a different direction of whatever the situation is, humor and laughter can kind of improve, even if it's just your day. So back a few years ago at the Miami Breast Cancer Conference, which is coming up this March again, a few years ago, we had one of our CURE contributors, Kevin Barnes. He did a laughter yoga therapy session. I'm not really sure, Alex, what to call it, but it was ridiculous. And I feel confident saying that because Kevin told me, like, that's the intent of it, is to feel silly and ridiculous and kind of like, what the heck am I doing here? And then you just end up laughing at yourself and at others because it was just so outlandish. But then it worked, because at the end, you're all laughing. So it's definitely really interesting. It's something silly. You got to lean into it. But really cool findings showing that this is actually something that could be helpful.
Nice, nice. Making a dated movie reference, it is the Patch Adams principle.
All right.
Okay.
I believe you.
Anyone out there who has seen Patch Adams, the movie where Robin Williams plays a doctor who wears a clown nose, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Well, not for those who are afraid of clowns, though.
No. Anyway, on that note, be sure to tune in again later this week for all the updates out of the two ASCO symposiums that we have been covering diligently. And until next time, I have been Alex Bice.
And I'm Brielle Bennion.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.